Our readings this morning are first taken with the help of Darla Baker from Madeline L'Engle's A Wind in the Door. All sizes become relative. You may be sized so that you are able to converse with a giant star or a tiny farandula. A farandula? Are we really going to see one? Yes. But it's impossible. A farandula is so small that... How small is it? Blogeny asked. So small that it's beyond rational conceiving, my mother says. Blogeny said, and yet Mrs. Murray is convinced that she has proved the existence of farandulae. Now let us suppose, here we are in Vega Nouel Galaxy, 2 trillion light years away. Vega Nouel is just about the same size as your own Earth's galaxy. How long does it take the Milky Way to rotate around once? As no one spoke, Meg answered, 200 billion years clockwise. So that gives us a general idea of the size of your galaxy, doesn't it? Very general, Calvin said. Our minds can't comprehend anything that huge, that macrocosmic. Don't try to comprehend with your mind. Your minds are very limited. Use your intuition. Think of the size of your galaxy. Now, think of your sun. It's a star, and it is a great deal smaller than the entire galaxy, isn't it? Of course. Think of yourselves now in comparison with the size of your sun. Think how much smaller you are. Have you done that? Sort of, Meg said. Now think of a mitochondrion. Think of the mitochondria which live in the cells of all living things, and how much smaller a mitochondrion is than you. Blogeny continued, now consider that a farandula is as much smaller than a mitochondrion is smaller than you are. This time, Calvin said, the problem is that our minds can't comprehend anything that microcosmic. Blogeny said, another way of putting it would be to say that a farandula is as much smaller than you are as your galaxy is larger than you are. Calvin whistled. Then, to a farandula, any of us would be as big as a galaxy. More or less, you are a galaxy for your farandulae. Then how can we possibly meet one? Blogeny's voice was patient. I have just told you, we can almost do away with variations in size, which are, in reality, quite unimportant. And from the psalmist, a portion of the 139th Psalm. O God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, oh God, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Here end our readings for this morning. Will you pray with me?
Round our skiff be God's aboutness.
Holy One, we ask that you hem us in behind and before, that you imbue us with your presence, that you breathe with us, that you are present with us in ways that we might know your presence. And may the meditations of our hearts and the words of my lips be your word and not simply our own. We ask all of it in your most holy name. Amen. Earlier this month, Maggie, Shannon, my mom, and I traveled to Scotland to visit the land of our Mackenzie ancestors. There are many, many stories to share from our experience, and I hope maybe you might ask me about them later. But one day in particular, I watched as Shannon was as alive as I've ever seen her. In response to the picture I posted of her on Facebook, someone remarked that she was glowing. We had taken a boat from the Isle of Mull, which is one of the Inner Hebrides Islands, to a small uninhabited island called Staffa. The ride over was on a fast boat in which we bounced amidst small waves and intermittently got sprayed as the wind blew the wake into our faces. It was a rare sunny day, and we held on and rhythmically bounced as you would on a cantering horse. Shannon stood encircled in my arms as we both gazed out at the Hebridean Sea and the islands not too far away. My mom said later that as she watched us from inside the boat's cabin, we looked like we were in our glory. When we got to Staffa, we disembarked and hiked amongst the purple heather and looked over the volcanic cliffs at Iona and back at the Isle of Mull. I wish I could describe the combination of the smell of the saltwater air, the feel of the wind and the sun on our faces, the sight of the sea and the heather-covered hills, with puffins flying and diving, and the energy that I can only describe as sacred. When Shannon was asked how the day was on a scale of 1 to 10, she responded, infinity. Because I could have had a similar reaction, I think I know what she meant. The pictures of us show us all grinning from ear to ear. And the same is true as we made our way to Iona and walked through the ancient abbey there. As I've closed my eyes and remembered that day, and as I've looked back at pictures, I think our experience might have something to say about Sabbath practice. That day, amidst the sea and the wind and the stones and the heather, the same place, parenthetically, that our song Round Our Skiff is written about, I think we all had an experience of simultaneously feeling very small amidst an awe-inspiring universe, very momentary in a place whose ancient history was almost palpable, and completely held and known and named in our beings. Our Jewish kindred call it the spiritual practice of right sizing. We were neither too big nor too small. We were inhabiting our rightful place in God's creation. We knew who and whose we were. I think the psalmist might have been talking about this when they wrote, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I rise up and when I sit down. How weighty are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them?" This whole summer, we've been exploring the notion, history, and practice of Sabbath. I have been deeply grateful for this exploration that has become a kind of annual summer tradition here at Lyndale. I've been deeply grateful for the wisdom of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, and for the other scholars we have examined and for the practices we've both tried on during worship and in our daily lives. As I pondered what piece of Sabbath practice I might offer on this, our final summer Sabbath Sunday, I found myself drawn to a few things. First, I reread Exodus 20, that portion of scripture that talks about Sabbath. As I did so, I was reminded that the line that reads, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy," is directly preceded by these lines: "I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of Yahweh your God." These lines directly precede the commandment to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And they also, parenthetically, directly precede the rest of the Ten Commandments, the covenant between God and Israel. But they suggest to me that the practice of keeping, of remembering, of embodying Sabbath starts with the practice of putting God at the center, of rooting ourselves in God. Sabbath practice starts with proper focus and orientation. For Sabbath practice, our orientation is on the one who is first and foremost liberator. "I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And if our orientation and focus are on the God of liberation, we don't make idols for ourselves, not in heaven, not on earth, not under the earth. Another way of saying this is that Sabbath practice begins with right sizing. When we start by focusing on the reality that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the liberator of generations, is our God, when we orient and turn our proper awe and wonder and longing toward God, we neither overestimate our own power nor idolize powers that are destructive or death-dealing. I think I've been drawn to this question of focus and orientation out of my deep, and I do mean like bone deep, sense of being offended by the current president and administration, and out of my own overactive ego. Let me explain. One of the ways that colonization and empire function in the world is through distortion, disorientation, and idol creation. Colonization and empire try to lure our awe, our longing, our desire, our focus away from the God of creation and liberation and toward the idols of its creation, toward its power, toward its truths. I don't know about you, but part of my struggle right now is how disoriented I feel on a daily basis. I almost cannot believe the distortions. And all the uproar over statues built in the shape and form of Confederate generals, but whose purpose was and is to idolize white supremacy, Jim Crow, and the terrorizing of black people, doesn't require much unpacking to see how the worship of idols is happening all around us. We are living amidst deeply distorting empire and its siren calls. And for me, part of the power of empire and disorientation that happens is that my ego gets all out of whack and the terror or despair sets in. Oh my God, it's all up to me. I have to figure out how I have to be, can be at every march and every sign every single petition and meet with every single legislator and be at every meeting and on and on and on. Or alternatively, oh my God, there is nothing that I can do. Nothing I can think of will make a difference. We are doomed. When this happens, my focus has successfully been turned, and rather than being oriented to the God of creation and liberation, I find myself worshiping at the altar of white supremacy. It is at these times when I know that I am called to walk the sacred paths of Iona, whose very stones remind me that I am given this moment in time, but many have walked before me and many will walk after me. It is at these times when I need to spend time on the Hebridean Sea and the sacred islands. Or maybe it's time to take a walk around Lake Nokomis or a paddle on Lake Harriet. It is at these times that I need to right size and find my rightful place in the universe again. In her masterpiece, A Wind in the Door, Madeleine L'Engle shares the story of a group of creatures, large and small, Farandula, snakes, humans, cherubim, turning away from the lies, the distortions, the disorientation of what she calls the powers of nothingness, and finding their rightful place in the order of things. And from that place, they are able to stop the death dealing and bring about genuine healing. Along the way, they are encouraged in their right sizing. I fill you with naming. Be butterfly or behemoth. Be galaxy and grasshopper, star and sparrow. You matter. You are. Be. Sing with us. Dance with us. Rejoice with us. Be. Sing for the glory of the living and the loving, the flaming of creation. Sing with us. Dance with us. Be with us. Be. My friends, we too are living amidst the powers of nothingness. We too are living amidst empires' distortions and lies. The KKK and neo-Nazi gatherings in Charlottesville and Boston. A presidential pardon of a disgraced former sheriff who tortured those under his command. A ban on transgender people serving in the military. The list goes on and on. But we must not be disoriented. We must not let our focus be lured away. Instead, we must remember that the God of creation has searched us and known us. The one who liberated and liberates offers us reorientation in every moment. So let us right size. Let us claim our rightful place in the order of things, that we might also stop the death dealing and partake in God's healing justice. Amen.